Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thank you for coming by. I do appreciate it. So, how's your week been? Done anything interesting this week? Yeah? Me neither, honestly. I did have a few days off for the Obon holidays. That is a festival time where people go back to their hometowns, they attend to the graves of their ancestors, and pray for their spirit. It's really quite nice, and everyone gets time off, and everybody travels, really. It's one of those Yogi Berra moments where they say, you know, oh, nobody goes there, it's too crowded. That's true. Nobody drives because the highways are packed. But we went to this nice little farm, this mountaintop farm near Kobe, which was quite lovely. I liked it. And then on Monday, this is the good part, the really good part. On Monday, I got to download and watch the season premiere of season 3 of Mad Men. If you're not watching this show, you really should. It's very, very good. You might want to pick up the DVDs. Purchase them. Do not be cheap and rent. Because my brother, my little brother, is an actor on the show. Michael Gladys. He plays the character of Paul Kinsey. That's the guy with the beard. The would-be writer. The one with the neckerchief. And the guy who tried to be trendy and out there by dating a woman of color in the last season. But it really is an excellent show. I am completely biased, but everyone else seems to agree with me. So I was very happy to see that episode. I'll be happily watching every episode for the next 12, 13 weeks, or however long the season is. But this is not a TV podcast. How long can I keep this joke going? I don't know. Is it a joke? Are you laughing? I hope you're laughing. With me, not at me, or at least near me. But last week I gave you a clue, as always, to the identity of this week's book, and I said it was a parody of a very well-known text, a bit of fantasy, and I got a correct response from Esteve in Spain that it was indeed Board of the Rings by Harvard Lampoon. Now, of course, you should know what it is a parody of. It is a parody of the famous Lord of the Rings. In a small corner of the world, tucked away from the great nations, there lives an isolated community full of colorful, down-to-earth people. One of those, considered a hero by some and an oddball by others, is getting ready to face the greatest challenge of his life, delivering a ring of power into the fires that made it, thereby saving not only his soul, but the world along with it. Yeah, you know this story, you just don't know the story this way. The young Frito Bugger, Boggy of the Sty, and nephew to the famed Dildo Bugger, has been tapped by Good Golf the Magician to return the Ring of Power to the Zazu Pits in the center of the deadly kingdom of Fordor. It is only then that Sorehead, maker of the ring and the greatest threat to Lower Middle-earth, can be defeated. There you go. The first time I read this book, I nearly soiled myself laughing. And I wasn't even a real fan of the originals at this point either. I knew enough, though, to see how well the venerable trilogy was being skewered, and I loved every minute of it. Since then, I've read this book more times than I've read Lord of the Rings, probably because it's much, much funnier, but mostly because the volume only clocks in at about 150 pages. And as with all comedy, of course, repetition kind of diminishes the effect, but there's still lots of laughs to be had. Just from the beginning, when Dildo Bugger throws a party for the gluttonous freeloaders of the sty and then foists his magic ring off on his hapless nephew Frito, you know things can only go wacky. So much like in the original, this fellowship travels across a land fraught with peril, and despite the funny names, their journey is recognizable to anyone who knows the story. The folks at Harvard Lampoon did a brilliant job here, warping the characters of the original story with, of course, the utmost love and respect for the money they're making from the sales of the book, into funhouse mirror images. Thus, brave Aragorn, son of Arathorn, becomes Arrowroot, son of Arrowshirt, wielder of Krona, conqueror of dozens, whose foolproof strategy for dealing with overwhelming odds is to play dead. Or wise and resourceful Gandalf becomes Goodgulf, the shifty con artist and 32nd degree mason, who's all too willing to let the shadow win if it means he can escape with his hide and a majority of someone else's gold. Legolas and Gimli become Legolim and Gimlet, sniping at each other with the kind of accuracy we could have only wished for in the films, and Merry and Pippin twist into Moxie and Pepsi, the blundering brothers who wish they were dead, and so does everyone else. What really differentiates this book from a lot of other parody books is that the Harvard Lampoon writers have allowed these warped characters to evolve in their own right. Instead of forcing them down the path of the original story, the writers have broadened the guidelines a bit. We see new relationships evolve and old ones twist into new shapes. Some parts of the story vanish entirely, while others take on all new significance. In other words, if you're looking for a one-to-one event correlation with the original books, you'll be disappointed. The major events and the characters are all there. A lot of the themes have been inverted, of course, for, you know, comic effect. The great friendship and loyalty that define the original Fellowship are sorely lacking in this volume, but they were never meant to be there in the first place. Probably the reason I found it so funny was that the twisted versions of these characters resemble a lot of my attitudes towards them when I first read Lord of the Rings. Merry and Pippin as an obnoxious pair of bumblers, Gandalf as a manipulative old coot, Boromir as utterly disposable, and of course Tom Bombadil as, well, himself. I never could stand Bombadil in the original books, but Tom Benzedrino? Him! I could read over and over again without hesitation. As I think about this, I wonder how many people read this and actually got offended. You know, people talk about Lord of the Rings and Tolkien as though they're perfect in every form, untouchable, and not to be criticized. I remember watching the DVD special features from the movie, and the son of Tolkien's editor said, "You simply did not edit Tolkien." Yes, he sounded exactly that pompous. I mean, that kind of reverence must certainly feel very good for a writer, but it doesn't produce good writing. Every writer, whether it's Tolkien or Rowling or King or anyone else who's really made it big, needs people willing to take them down a peg. And you look at the Harry Potter books, for example. When they were relatively unknown, they were slim, tight little volumes that moved at a good pace and could be devoured on a long bus ride. As soon as Rowling made it big, however, they became these massive tomes that required 10 minutes of warm-up time just to pick up and an occasional shot of caffeine to get through. Don't get me wrong, I like Harry Potter. I like it more than I like Lord of the Rings. Don't hit me. I just don't think that fame or literary pretension should make an author exempt from vicious editing or vicious parody. A book like Lord of the Rings, it's not a criticism of the story or of the dream that Tolkien had. It's a vindication of it. It's a testament to the book's strength that it can be ripped apart with such wild abandon, yet still maintain its popularity. Every author should be so lucky as to have a book like this written in their honor. So, you know, just sit back, enjoy it. Whether you've read the books or you've seen the movies, as long as you're not one of those who worship at the altar of the unassailable Tolkien, you should be able to get a lot of good laughs out of this. Some of the jokes are a little bit dated, I'll have to warn you on that. It was written in the 70s, I believe. But it still works, trust me. So let me give you a quote. It's the most applicable quote I could find. And they say, "Observing this near impossible escape from certain death, Frito wondered how much longer the authors were going to get away with such tripe. He wasn't the only one." So, there you go. Bored of the Rings. I realize I have admitted to sort of reader heresy, especially amongst the science fiction fantasy crowd, by saying I don't really like Lord of the Rings that much. If you want to send me hate mail, that's great, and maybe I can develop maybe even a special edition podcast as to why I don't like Lord of the Rings very much. Or at the very least, why I don't like the books very much. I thought the movies were awesome, but I will take Lord of the Rings over Lord of the Rings any day. So, there we go. It's a slim book, so it's a short podcast. What do you want? You should probably still be able to find it at your better bookstores, I imagine. And of course, there will be links, as there always are, over on the blog. But any administrative business to do? Well, there's the Facebook fan page, which is growing very nicely. We got 92 fans there. Let's see if we can make it to 100. If we make it to 100 fans, I will do the podcast with no pants. That'll either bump up the numbers or scare everyone away. I don't know. Either way, I know people are listening. I am on Twitter as LabLib, LabLib. If you sign up, I just occasionally drop in a note about what's going on, updates, when the podcast is updated. I won't clog up your Twitter feed because I don't tweet that much. We have the iTunes, of course. You can go onto iTunes. You can leave a review. I would love to hear from you, of course, with such an international following and the very strong power of my Spanish mafia. I may not see all the reviews because I don't have accounts in every single iTunes store, but leave a review anyway. And of course, send me email. I love my email. I get a little thrill in my heart when I see that email come up. You have to stroke my poor ego. That's just the way these things work. Okay, next week, it is Dresden week. It's time for our series because it's the last podcast of the month. Now, you all know what the book is next week, so there's really no point giving you a clue, but I can give you a trivia question, something to think on and think about while you wait for next week's podcast. I'm sure you're sitting by your computer just hitting refresh, refresh, refresh. Stop, take a breath, go outside. It's always going to be at the same time every week, I guarantee. 9 a.m. Japan time. Do the math yourself. Let me give you a trivia question then. Where did Harry get Bob from? If you know, let me know. I know, but I want to know that you know, so email me. And you will get praise and congratulations next week. So until then, thank you very much for coming over, and I will see you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.